Grace and peace in the name of Jesus the Christ to all who join our service of online worship, originating from the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan, on this, the sixth Sunday of Easter. And we remember that Easter is not just a day, it is a season. That's why the colors remain white. I'm Pastor Mark McCormick, joined by our entire worship team and production staff. Our special musicians today are Kim Finneson and Marcia Hacker, who sing and play with our music staff, Barb Fuller and Deanne McCormick. Today's liturgist is Roger Kennedy. Happy Mother's Day. Mom, I hope you enjoyed the roses. I know you do. I probably receive more joy in giving them than you do in receiving them, that nonetheless, we'll call that a double blessing. We enjoyed the drive-through event held in our parking lot last Sunday, and our hearts long to see everyone, hopefully, someday soon. Godspeed to the vaccination efforts and to all the frontline healthcare and essential industry workers who continue to perform heroically and tirelessly. Thanks be to God. Let us now turn our hearts to worship.
Wow, how do you follow such a musical offering as that? We are so happy and thankful that you all get to see us this morning. Now hear these words. We gather for worship under the banner of love in the name of Jesus the Christ. He is the one who taught his disciples about the nature and depth of love. We are disciples too. So in keeping with the theme of the sixth Sunday of Easter, we are listening to our Lord's teaching concerning the kind of love which reaches beyond any borders. Those borders might include race, religion, nationality, social status, sexual identity, or even the borders of our neighborhoods. We trust that during this service of holy worship, we will open our hearts and minds to the love of God in Christ, from which nothing can separate nor exclude. Thanks be to God. Please join us in prayer. Eternal God and merciful Lord, we humbly present ourselves to you during the service of worship. We thank you for talented musicians, worship leaders, and our production staff who plan and prepare for worship with thoughtfulness and dedication. We thank you for our faith story within the pages of Scripture. We pray that the words of farewell Jesus shared with the disciples would resonate with us, just like it did for them. We give thanks to God that we, like the disciples, are more than servants of Christ, but friends as well. So help us, God, in the name of the Spirit of Christ, to make friends with as many as possible, knowing that true friendship translates into a love which will reach beyond any border and all barriers. In the name of Jesus the Christ, we pray. Amen.
Well, it is Mother's Day, and I don't mean anything about this mom in a negative sense, but I'm glad my childhood prohibition on dancing has evolved to the fact that my greatest desire to dance would be in church. Let us pray. Eternal God and our loving Lord, we bring the frailties and weaknesses of our lives and love before you today. We know what love is, and we have experienced it, but we acknowledge the barriers and borders which constrain our love, the people we simply just don't like, those people who live in countries considered our mortal enemies, politicians who espouse policies and ideologies which are an anathema to us, neighbors whose activities are suspect and who reduce our property values. And then there is the love we hold on sometimes too tightly, which can create debilitating and paralyzing sadness and grief. Oh God, we know you understand these things in our lives because you experienced the same. So teach us to reach beyond the borders of our love, to make it unconditional and universal so that we may reflect the love that God has for the whole world, knowing that you came to save it and not to condemn it. Give us that hope, even in our sadness, our grief, and loss that happens sometime. With love in our hearts, we pray for our world where we hear more rumors of war, new outbreaks of the pandemic, especially in India, and for places that have experienced the ravages of severe weather and flooding. Be with our country as the pandemic fatigue causes us to rush back to normalcy, sometimes at our own peril. Help us to exercise not only safety, but courtesy in the name and spirit of Christ. We pray that the trend toward reduced infections and death would continue and that it would shorten the time when all communities of faith, including Mayflower, could gather together to resume all that we hold dear as a gathered community. Give us patience, O Lord. Give us persistence in all our praying and in all our loving as we pray for the needs of our congregation. We remember Laura Anderson in her isolation and recovery. For Bev Miller, as she goes for her procedure tomorrow. For Miles Chamberlain, Darlene Wirt and Bob Z in their continued grief over the loss of Bob Pearson. And also for Bob Gress, who continues to recover from his accident. And for the needs we continue to remember, Loyal Dean, Sarah Lou Chamberlain, Adam Mellum, Gordon Wilson, Yvonne Nelson, Milbourne Mitchell, Paula Kay, and daughter Kara Davis. For these, for others forgotten or with private concerns, and for the needs of our own hearts and lives, we pray that you would hear our prayers, O Lord, and hear now the prayer of our Lord, which we've been taught as we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's gospel reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 9 through 17. Today's scripture reading is found within five chapter discourse, where the pace of events slows as Jesus shares intimately and vulnerably with his disciples on their final evening together. Hear now these words. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing. But I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I chose you, and I appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. I'm giving you these commands so that you may love one another. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the divine guidance that you always give when we ask, as well as the wisdom that we need, that you give to us liberally without making us feel like we don't know anything, because you do it without, as the scripture says, without chiding when we need wisdom. So give us the spirit and wisdom as we share today. Amen. Well, I admit I've heard way too many sermons on Mother's Day that came from Proverbs 31. You might be aware of that chapter that talks about what a good woman is. The problem with that chapter for me is that I've never known a woman that has met all those qualifications, especially in modern times. Not that that isn't a good standard in some regards, but with all due respect to any other pastor that would preach a Mother's Day sermon today, I will say that saying goodbye to mothers is a difficult thing, and we've had a number, more than one in our congregation this past year that has lost their mother, including my wife, Deanne. I am grateful that I still have my mother that I talk to very often, but whether it is at a time of loss or betrayal or sadness or grief, or simply at a time that it's difficult, it is never easy to say goodbye. It took Jesus 5 chapters from John 13 through 17 to say goodbye to his disciples, and it was all in the course of one last evening together. If you have a red letter Bible, you'll see that John 13 through 17 has the highest concentration of red letters, because those are the words of Jesus. And those 5 chapters are known as Jesus' farewell discourse, one of several discourses in John's gospel. Today's scriptural narrative is embedded within the longest goodbye in all the scriptures. There are many goodbyes in our lives too, and some of us, would identify with the disciples when several chapters of our lives were written in just one evening. The night your husband told you that he no longer loved you, or when your wife told you she was having an affair with another man. The night when you said goodbye to a loved one who took their last breath. Or when the sheriff showed up at your door to deliver bad news. The time you received the doctor's report you never wanted to hear. The day you said goodbye to your son or daughter leaving home for college or for work, and then realizing that life for you would never be the same. Life would never be the same for the disciples. And that partially explains why this farewell address of Jesus is so poignant. Goodbyes are difficult, and the difficulties are deepened when the love is profound. Just ask Abraham Lincoln, when he left his hometown in Springfield, Illinois, never to return again, until he arrived by train 4 years later in a casket. And the letter that he wrote was read aloud to people that he addressed as his friends when he said, "No one, not in my situation, can appreciate my feeling of sadness to this parting, to this place, and the kindness of these people. I owe everything. Here I have lived a quarter of a century and have passed from a young to an old man. Here my children have been born, and one is buried. I now leave, not knowing when or whether ever I may return, with a task before me than that which rested upon Washington. Without the assistance of the divine being who ever attended him, I cannot succeed. With that assistance, I cannot fail. Trusting in him who can go with me and remain with you and be everywhere for good, let us confidently hope that all will yet be well. To his care commending you, as I hope in your prayers you will commend me, I bid you an affectionate farewell." I must admit, these words are more striking to me, having just visited the Lincoln Museum 2 weeks ago. Harper's Weekly recorded that at the conclusion of his remarks, himself and audience were moved to tears. His exhortation to pray elicited choked exclamations of, "We will do it. We will do it." As he turned to enter the railroad car, three cheers were given, and a few seconds afterward, the train moved slowly out of the sight of the silent gathering. This was the love for a man who would soon be immortalized, not only by his hometown, but for a grateful nation, due to his untiring efforts to save the Union. We can all identify with feelings of pain, sorrow, and loss in a heartfelt goodbye. It was Charlie Brown who said, "Goodbyes always make my throat hurt." Jesus fully understood the gravity of the moment when he shared this final evening of freedom with the 12. But his words reflected also in the words of Abraham Lincoln in a defining moment of American history, gave insight and energy beyond the borders created by some of the debilitating effects of love. What are those border-creating, debilitating conflicts? First, there is the fear of loss when we love. Jesus told the disciples that he had chosen them, not the other way around. Indeed, he did. But each of them had a choice to respond, and each of them made that choice. It was a choice replete with risk, and the payment for that risk was coming due. Uncertainty, fear, dread, and death all hung in the air that evening as the events leading to his arrest and trial were just moments away. Jesus had already agitated both the political and religious establishment, and the disciples' love was soon to be tested, including a betrayer in their midst who was about to flunk the test. But Jesus was not the only one who knew something was up. Those disciples weren't born yesterday. So Jesus took the last opportunity he had to reveal to them the essence of what was shared from this pulpit 2 weeks ago in my absence when Dr. Paul talked about agape love, a love in which one would lay down their life for a friend. This moment for the disciples epitomizes the irony of difficult goodbyes, such as this was. It is encapsulated in a quote by Ritu Gaturi when he said, "Goodbyes make you think. They make you realize what you've had, what you've lost, and what you've taken for granted." This may have been that moment for the disciples. I am certain that the 12 were also thinking of their worst moments of failure, which is another debilitating effect of love. Sometimes our sense of failure. Because it was not only Judas who was a betrayer. While Peter was not one who handed Jesus over like Judas was about to do, he had adamantly denied he even knew Jesus when questioned by an observer when the plot thickened. If that isn't betrayal, I don't know what is. I don't ever like to think of my worst moments of failures to love like I had promised someone. Do you ever struggle with those failures and feelings? Jesus, in his measured and compassionate encouragement to these disciples, gave antidotes to love beyond the borders which debilitate. In spite of his impending death, Jesus tells his disciples to be joyful, even in the face of trial, tribulation, and death. This in no way diminishes the natural and painful process of grief and sorrow during and subsequent to loss. But there is insight to be gained from the words of Jesus. Abide in my love and keep my commandments, he says. How so? I'm reminded of a great moment in sports history when one of the greatest baseball players of all time, Lou Gehrig, gave his farewell speech at Yankee Stadium after finding out that he had contracted amyotrophic lateral sclerosis. Is now called Lou Gehrig's disease, otherwise known as ALS. This is some of what he told the saddened crowd on that day, July 4th, 1939, at Yankee Stadium. For the past 2 weeks, and I quote, "You have been reading about the bad break I got. Yet today I consider myself the luckiest man on the face of the earth. I have been in ballparks for 17 years and have never received anything but kindness and encouragement from you fans." He went on to talk about how much he loved his fellow ballplayers, manager, groundskeepers, the owner, even his mother-in-law who took his side in disputes with her daughter, his sacrificial parents, and his wife who was a tower of strength and who showed incredible courage. This is what he said in closing. "So I close in saying that I may have had a tough break, but I have an awful lot to live for." Lou Gehrig, in the face of deep sorrow, indicated that his joy was full. An antidote which causes love to reach beyond the borders of loss and failure. And that antidote is appreciation and gratefulness. Dr. Seuss once said, "Don't cry because it's over. Smile because it happened." Do you think this is what Jesus might have meant when he talked about the joy within and the joy complete? Another antidote Jesus gave to his disciples was the gift of friendship. Jesus told the disciples that he was no longer calling them servants, but friends. Why? The scriptures tell us that it was because he had chosen to reveal everything that his Father had revealed to him. Jesus held nothing back from his disciples, and that is the essence of true friendship. Jesus has given us the gift of friendship too, and he holds nothing back from us. Robert Southey said this concerning friendship: "No distance of place or lapse of time can lessen the friendship of those who are thoroughly persuaded of each other's worth." Richard Bach added, "Can miles truly separate you from friends? If you want to be with someone you love, aren't you already there? He said. And finally, this is what Helen Keller said: "So long as the memory of certain beloved friends lives in my heart, I shall say that life is good." There is a final antidote for the debilitating borders created by loss and failure in our journey of love. That final antidote for loving beyond the borders of sorrow, pain, loss, and failure is mission. Receiving love is a wonderful thing, but the giving of love is a greater thing. Jesus told his disciples on this same evening that he was their good shepherd. We must now become the shepherds for others. While much of what we experience concerning love is internal, John's gospel constantly gives us external orientation. To love one another is a command that transcends our beloved community and must resonate with a world alienated from God, because the whole world is the object of divine love. Just previous to the encounter read today was Jesus demonstrating the upside-down nature of the kingdom when he washed the feet of all the disciples, including Judas. This action clearly indicates that love is to be extended even to one's enemies, which breaks down the border between community, our community, and the world. What we have here at Mayflower is to be shared with the world. In the final chapter of John's Gospel, Jesus made a surprise post-resurrection appearance to the disciples on the beach where they had begun to resume their old life of fishing. After lovingly telling them where to place their nets to catch some fish after they had fished all night and caught none, Jesus fixed breakfast and then questioned Peter about his love. Each time Peter reiterated his love for Jesus, "Oh, Lord, you know I love you." And each time Jesus shared what is at the heart of our mission of love, which transcends barriers and borders when we try to keep it for ourselves. Jesus told Peter, "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep. Go and do likewise, my friends." The disciples changed the world. The world still needs more changing. Thanks be to God. Thank you. Yes, they will know we are Christians by our love when we work with each other and work side by side. Working with each other, we will walk hand in hand and will guard each one's dignity and save humans' pride. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Yes, goodbyes are difficult, and after about 60 weeks, they become very difficult. Know that on the part of your worship team and production staff and your pastor, those goodbyes don't come easy. So let's pray that God will help us continue to head in the right direction with hopeful signs already appearing. So I'll encourage all of you, if you haven't already, get your vaccinations, wear a mask, be safe, be courteous, and we'll see you soon. Amen.